Okay, guys, we're going to begin, and then people can just join whenever. This is a clip-heavy class, because we're going to be talking about stories. It's a pretty epic title. Mike Cope is the one who came up with it for me, and I thought, hey, that sounds like a good title. Let's go with it. We all know that stories are important. Stories bring us to tears. Stories make us laugh. Stories make us think. Stories remind us of our childhood. Stories give us hope for the future. Stories can be accompanied in visual art. It can be found, of course, in books. And right now I'm talking about films and videos, documentaries. But real quickly, as we get a little discussion here, what stories have impacted your life? And I don't want to go so far as to change the course of your path of life, but maybe it has. Or what has influenced you? And if nobody talks, that's fine. But what story? It could be a family story, or it could be your favorite film. Throw something out there.
The story of orphans in Kenya.
Okay, those are personal stories. Sure. Life stories. Yeah. No, that's good. That's great.
I don't know if this is what you're looking for, but just in our personal life, fostering and in the process of adopting two boys really changed our life. And
whole process, and oh, I'm sure. Absolutely. Yeah, that's a life course change.
Oh, the story of Benjamin or Rachel, both brothers, Benjamin and Di, in childbirth, because that happened to my mother. Like that, and so I'm able to just kind of think it through. And I like how she named him Benoni, but his father changed his name to Benjamin. And then I'm reading at the end that the tribe of Benjamin connected with the Judah tribe. And so the remnant was able to go back to the promised land. So it's like hope at the end of the tunnel. You know? So I'm just merging in that with what I can glean from it.
That's great. One of the points I want to make is our faith is based on a book of stories, just like that. And stories are everywhere in our lives. Does anybody else have anything you want to throw out? I was expecting more Indiana Jones or something like that, but nothing.
Lord of the Rings,
that's right. Back to the Future for me changed my life forever.
One episode of Hill Street Blues.
Hey, oh yeah, TV. TV's great. Hill Street, I don't know Hill Street Blues. Should I know it?
We know.
Yes.
Yeah.
Yeah, oh yeah.
Thinking of, you know, how we genuinely do have a very small amount of time with them, and how time moves in ways that we don't expect.
I mean, okay, on that point, now you got me thinking of Arrival. Do you see Arrival?
Yeah.
Yeah, I mean, just it kind of analyzes, it puts that question out. If you knew something bad was going to happen, do you still go through with it? Yeah. And I think it's a great, great story and thought. So, I don't have anything epic like that. However, this does make a great point. Before I force this into movies and some of those big TV shows, your stories were very personal. And I didn't know your story. I didn't know your story. And in a way, I'm reminded of what Mike was talking about last night with those Ruth stories. Those small stories can make big impacts on us. And if other people know about it, it makes impacts on them. And so I'm just saying that we are chock full of Ruth stories in our lives. And that's one of the things I want to talk about. Earlier today, I was still kind of putting this class together, and I Googled, what are some films that have changed the world? You know, just see what came up. And there's so many lists, and for different reasons, of documentaries and movies that have had a societal impact. And one of the films, which was on the top of the list, happened to be a short documentary that I happened to watch a couple months ago on HBO. And it's just a tiny little story, and we're going to watch the trailer for it. But it's called The Girl in the River. Mm-hmm. trailer, but it depicts something that is somewhat legal in Pakistan called honor killings, where if a child dishonors you, you have every right and almost are expected to dispose of that child. It's horrific, horrific. And this is the story of a young woman who survived just that. And this short documentary went on to win the Oscar. And so since we're so near to Hollywood and the Oscars, we've got to watch the Oscar acceptance speech. So that's what's coming up right now.
Thank you. I'm here to present the award for Best Documentary Short Film, which is my favorite award. This is easily my favorite subject. It really is, because this is the one Academy Award that has an opportunity to change a life. Because, I mean, I'm happy for all of you, but you came here winners and you're leaving millionaires. It's not going to make that big a difference. The rest of the Oscars are going to mansions and the homes of people with good unions and who will always work. These people, this is documentary short film. You cannot... even documentary feature, you know, Al Gore got one of those, and Michael Moore got, this is, no, you cannot make a dime on this. You, these people will never be rich as long as they live. So this Oscar means something, because all they do is tell stories that are important. Now, you all do, but you also get rich. But these people, all they got is, this Oscar is going home in a Honda Civic. The person who owns this Oscar's going to be the nicest thing they ever own in their life. It's going to give them anxiety to keep it in their crappy apartment. Here are the nominees for Best Documentary Short Subject.
Body Team 12, David Dark and Bryn Lucer. Chow Beyond the Lines, Courtney Marsh and Jerry Frank. Claude Lanzmann, Spectres of the Shoah. Adam Benzine. A Girl in the River, The Price of Forgiveness. Charmaine Obed Chinoy. Last Day of Freedom. D. Hibbert Jones and Nomi Talisman.
And the Oscar goes to Mad Max. No. A Girl in the River, The Price of Forgiveness. Charmaine Obed Chinoy.
This is the second Oscar and second nomination for Charmaine Obed Chinoy.
Thank God I have two of them now. Oh, this is what happens when determined women get together. From Saba, the woman in my film, who remarkably survived an honor killing and shared her story, to Sheila Nevins and Lisa Brown from Lisa Heller from HBO, to Tina Brown, who supported me from day one, to the men who champion women, like Jeff Bartz in my film, who's edited the film, to Asad Farooqi, to my friend Ziad, who bought this film to the government, to all the brave men out there, like my father and my husband, who push women to go to school and work, and who want a more just society for women. This week, the Pakistani Prime Minister has said that he will change the law on honor killing after watching this film. That is the power of film.
So that's the point I wanted to get to. I probably could have cut out that middle, but Louis C.K. was so funny talking about short documentary film. I mean, that's a Ruth moment. It's a short story, a small story, something that the world doesn't know about. But now the world knows, and now there's, like, pressure. And the Pakistani prime minister said he's going to strive to change this. I'm sure, I don't know if he knew about it, I'm guessing he does, but maybe now there's world pressure that the rest of the world knows. That's the power of story. However, we all don't live in Pakistan where this stuff happens. We don't live in areas, maybe some of us do, but we don't live in areas where you have these crazy stories. We live next to our neighbors and our friends and the homeless guy down the street, and But there's power in those stories as well, in those little stories that we all still need to hear about. And I'm going to take you, and so this is Midland right here. This is where I live, where it's 5 hours from Dallas, 5 hours from San Antonio, 5 hours from El Paso, 2 hours from Lubbock, and 2 hours from Abilene. So we got that. We're in the middle of... says the fellow Midlanders. But we've got stories there. And that's what... So we're going to watch some of these right now and some of the ripple effects that I've seen in these stories. So, in 2012, my wife and I moved to Midland, where I... Wait, did I even introduce myself? Goodness. Let's back up. I'm Matt Maxwell, visual arts director at Golf Course Road Church of Christ. And basically, I'm the storyteller there. I've got a dream job where I just get to tell the stories of the church. And that's my passion, and that's what I do. So, in 2012, we moved to Midland. And my first project was... GCR is a rather large church, and we have lots of ministries, and a lot of ministries that nobody knows about. So I was tasked with, let's film some of these and tell these stories so the church knows about them. And so my very first production while I was there was Friday Morning Breakfast Ministry. So we're going to watch that.
I'm Marita Hart with the Friday Morning Breakfast Ministry, and we're serving at Faith Temple Fellowship. At this point in time, we have breakfast, we have lunches for the men to take with them. We serve people in the community, we serve homeless persons in our area, and we serve different people who come in that have heard about the ministry. We don't advertise, it just goes by word of mouth that they find a good place to come for a meal.
Of course, I was just on the street, I don't know where to eat, then he came. Showed me this place, and they serve pretty good breakfast.
A lot of these guys, you won't see them during the week, but they're here Friday. You bet.
On Thursdays, I shop. It takes a couple of hours. I make a pantry check and make sure that we've got stuff in our refrigerators. And then I go to Sam's and Walmart and do that kind of shopping. And then... On Fridays, my morning starts at about 4, and getting up and getting ready to come and greet our friends. We cook, we start cooking right at 5, and we start serving about 5:45.
Good thing with people like that, you know, looking out for us, you know, don't know where to go, nowhere to eat.
The people here are wonderful. I love them. Sad there ain't more like them.
Decided to stop doing drugs too late. I didn't have no job, keep up the rent, and all that. I ended up in the streets. Though I don't do drugs no more, but I'm still out there in the streets.
Homelessness is a very, very sad thing. When you think about going to the bathroom, something as ordinary as that, the bathrooms here are available. And you think, that's such a small thing, but it's not.
Shelter. Find us a place where you can rest. The days is real cold, the days real hot. It's hard to find shelter sometimes. That's the toughest part to me. Well, at least if I get to eat at least once a day, I manage. This place pretty much take care of that. Good thing this friend showed me this place, and that right now I'd be slaying down there. Figuring way how to eat.
Some of it is by choice, and we know that. And other times it's just circumstances that just are beyond their control, and it makes it very, very difficult for them. And it makes it difficult for us to figure out how to help, and sometimes we can't. One little man that was very arthritic, when we were serving one day, I said, "Would you like some juice or some coffee?" And he said, "Just a little cup of water." So, we need cups of water. Nothing else. I'm sure this is one of the smallest ministries that GCR has. But we're grateful that they can help us serve. And even though many of them have not seen the facility or seen us as we work, this way they can. It's good.
I never miss. I love Fridays.
So that was my first film. It was good film. But I didn't think anything of it a month later because we had so many other stories to tell. We moved on to the next one, and then in 2013, my friend Ryan Lasseter was filling in for Mike Cope on a Sunday preaching, and like so many other good preachers, decided, hey, we should shoot a video and show it on Sunday, and he told me like Thursday. So he had heard that one of our members, Patty, this woman right here in the middle, was involved in something called night strikes, where you go out and feed the homeless at night when it's below freezing. And so on a cold night, we jumped in with her and we told this next story.
Hello, it's Patty with Church Under the Bridge. Anybody here? We've got hot soup, water.
About a year and a half ago, there was a video at church that was just, there were several videos. I think they were highlighting just some ministries that people are involved in that at GCR that a lot of people don't know exist. And one of the videos was for a Friday breakfast ministry that's done at Jesus House in Odessa. And it's where they feed the homeless breakfast. And there were members from our church that do that. And I just didn't even know, you know, that ministry existed. And there were, you know, homeless people on the video talking about how much it meant to them. And I was just in tears thinking about what a wonderful, you know, ministry it was. So I knew that that was something that I wanted to, you know, learn more about or be a part of. And so since I helped coordinate the Wednesday night meals, I contacted one of my friends that helps with Jesus House and asked him if they wanted to do a fundraiser meal. So we planned that. And that night afterwards, we had leftover food. And that was our first ever night strike in Midland. And we just loaded up the extra food from GCR and went out and started looking for homeless people. And it was immediate. I fell in love with it right then. From there, that's how Church Under the Bridge, Midland, birthed. Dale, this is Patty with Church Under the Bridge. Hey. Do y'all need anything else? I've got some bananas. I've got some more blankets. Y'all look like y'all have good blankets, pillows, bags.
Yeah,
okay.
Thank you, Dale.
Yes, Dale, this is my husband, Rusty.
How you doing, darling? How you doing?
Nice to meet you.
Nice to meet you. Good. I ain't gonna lie, it actually blows my mind, the things that they do. So it's new, it's unexpected. So, yeah.
All right.
Hey, nice
we'll
to meet
see
you
later.
Man.
See you Saturday.
Good to see you.
Good to meet you.
Yeah, 15 and 3. So really 18, the past 18 years. He's been out for 3 weeks.
Armies and places like that, but they're not helping. And Jesus says, what you've done to the least of these, my brethren, you've done it unto me.
You know, like these homeless people that a lot of people overlook or don't want to have anything to do with, or the people that make other people uncomfortable are the ones that I love to hang out with. Yeah, God does. I mean, he meets us where we are in the middle of all the ugly, and when we don't deserve it, and when we've probably made bad choices to get there, God's just like, whoop, all up in the middle of it, right there to love us, show us grace, and be there for us. And that's what we do. I mean, we get all up in the middle of it. The ugly, the scary, the whatever. The things that people don't want to be around and they think is crazy. That's where we're supposed to be. You know, God, I don't know, God uses us, and it's big for me because it constantly reminds me of how much he loves us and his grace and how we don't deserve it, but we can turn around and show people that. And I think that's why, you know, we don't go out and pass out Bibles or give them a sermon every time we check on them. And I don't think we have to, because we're living out God's love and what he's told us to do. Like, they know something's different by the way that we love them and how we treat them. Like, they're our friends. I mean, they really are, you know, my friends. Because if it wasn't for this ministry and people getting out and, you know, seeking these people out, meeting them where they are, developing relationships with them, they might die never having, you know, somebody that they know loved them or cared about them. Or so I'm like, even if he doesn't want to come inside or whatever, he's loves, kind of like, you know, God is with us. Even if we don't want to listen to him, we don't want to obey him and do what he knows is better for us, and we make a different decision, his love's there, grace is still there. So you kind of get to be that to these people, which is what we're supposed to do. What? Church up onto the bridge, y'all.
I like it.
So this was, it doesn't happen much, but this is one of those films that, like, all the clips just fit into place so quickly and easily, and I came away just like, this is one of my favorite pieces, and it's partly because Patty is so dynamic and such a fun character, and she preaches. I mean, she preaches right there, and I just love it. Well, so Ryan preached. It was a fantastic sermon, and accompanied by this video. And as I recall, and I don't quote me on numbers here, but there was somebody with who was visiting our church who wanted to give some money to a ministry, and they saw this and they wrote an extremely large check to this ministry, which was great because they were so young and it was able to give them legs. And yeah, and so Church on the Bridge became a real part of Midland, and it's been helping the homeless ever since. But let me back up. When I was filming her, I had no idea that her life choice was made by that video that I made prior, which I didn't think anything of it. And I just remember sitting there filming in shock of like, what? My little video about that transformed your heart to do this? And it was just a revelation to me of like, that little story from Marita at the very beginning affected Patty to do this. Now let's fast forward to 2016-17. My wife and I have some friends, John Mark and Brianna Eccles, and they attend First Baptist of Midland, but they got heavily involved in Church Under the Bridge. Prior, like many of us, we don't know the difficulties of the homeless and the complexities, and he just figured they were lazy and we don't need to do anything to help them. Well, you know, it's a much bigger problem than that. And from this Church Under the Bridge ministry, they fell in love with the homeless and developed relationships with them and have altered their course of life because of it. And so I started documenting their journey in 2016, and I'm still documenting it. And I'll be documenting it probably for the next couple of years. But I want you to watch the beginning of this documentary that I'm working on about their life.
speed suit. You got more time?
How are y'all doing on warm stuff? Well, Billy, do you want any blankets or anything? I don't have a pillow now. I got some blankets and I got some like hats and gloves and hand warmers and stuff.
Here's one suit. Get your spoon too. Y'all enjoy that and stay warm. We'll be back. All right.
Do count every January, and this past year we were just under 300, I think, homeless in Midland. It's definitely not on the scale of some of the major cities where, like, Austin has thousands, but it's a lot for Midland. It's not a big place.
Yeah.
I've been in and out of motels here and there, you know, and that's just. Yeah, it's.
Well, she was happy. Anyway, so, you know, people still want it in their backyard, and I understand that to some degree, but it doesn't do any good to arrest people. Can't pay for tickets. Then we have to take all their stuff and sweep them off the street, and they have nowhere else to go. So there's got to be a better way, which is why we feel like this idea of a tiny house community could really make an impact on people that do want to get off the streets and you know, really make a lasting difference for people like this. So that's why we're doing it. So this is the wall.
And I bet there's nobody here.
Hi.
How you doing? Hey, Jed, Ed, are you guys here? I'm going to call you soon, man.
I mean, even if we weren't doing what we were doing, even if we weren't building this village, we would still be selling our house because we want to spend our money helping people like this, people that need it more than, you know, more than we need 2,800 square feet.
And then here's the hand warmers.
Midland is pretty conscious of its image and the... They want this to be the nice white collar oil executive town, and Odessa to be the blue collar, you know, laborer town. And my dad.
Hey, John T. What's up?
How
you been?
Party. Law firm party.
John Glove?
Yeah. Y'all doing nice strikes?
Yes, sir.
Okay. Good sight.
See you later.
That's hysterical. Perfect. Coming out of the petroleum club. Nice club in town. Just happened into my dad. It couldn't be any better.
So the pacing of this is a little different. It's meant to be a feature film, so that's why it's slower. And we're only going to watch it one more minute.
So this is where I grew up, my parents' house. This was the original house, which was 3,500 feet. And then when we were in high school, they built this on to total 7,200. So it's big. And 2 acres, when we were kids, the road was dirt and there was nobody out here, so we rode four-wheelers and horses and stuff everywhere, and Yeah, so it was a great place to grow up, great neighborhood, a lot of good kids. But yeah, coming from this into a 300 square foot trailer, gonna be a little bit of a change.
So that's the Eccles, and so what their story is, and what you gathered a little bit, is they have this lofty dream of building a tiny house community for the poor and homeless of Midland, and they're modeling it after a tiny house community in Austin that is serving that same purpose. It's very successful. So they sell their house, they move in with their two-year-old daughter into that trailer. They've been living in Austin at this community for the last 4 months, learning and figuring it out. They just moved back to Midland last week. They got their 501c3 status, and they're starting this ministry called The Field's Edge and hoping to get this community built and to live amongst the poor. It's a really fantastic story, and there's so many different layers. However, it's fun for me documenting them because I'm looking at this of like, wow, this one little ministry kind of birthed this right here, which birthed this. And that's how the story of God works. It's one little piece growing into the next. And I'm just lucky enough to be documenting this one piece. Okay, so I'm going to stop right here. We've got about 15 more minutes. Questions, thoughts, observations? I've thrown a lot out and haven't given you a chance to say anything. Is there anything anybody wants to say? Yes?
What kind of equipment are you using to...
Great question. For these, for 2012 and 13, I was working with a Sony prosumer camera. With the Night Strike, I was using a Nikon lens, an old one that I could stop down, and that's why the focus was going in and out. With that latest one, it's a Canon C100. It's a great point, and it's a good... Anybody else have any thoughts or questions?
About the cameras, or...?
No. Because I'm going to segue off of that, but I want to...
Well, I can ask it after, because it's a different subject. I was going to ask about asking permission from people to film them and stuff, and do you find that easy, or is that something you do first? Do you film and say, can I keep rolling? Or I just wanted to know your process.
That is a phenomenal question. And I've done an absolutely terrible job of doing it the right way. This Field's Edge, it's a project I'm working on for a Master's of Fine Art graduate program I'm working on. And I just returned from my second residency there, and my professor was like, this is looking great. This is what I showed him, some of these clips. And he says, great, you have releases, right? I was like, no, not yet. And he was like, you do that now, because they can change their mind and there's nothing you can do about it. So
verbal, sure, filming is not
good. It's not good enough. For the videos for the church, that's a great question, and I'm still trying to figure that out as far as just a regular photo release or if it needs more. But if you want to talk more, I can send you what the releases I'm using currently to kind of protect you on that. Because, yeah, you have to think about that. These are people's lives you're documenting.
We bake that into our youth ministry, like the waiver for medical and all that other stuff includes the photo.
Yeah, so for anything for the church, our church has signed away for so many different reasons, photo releases. It's the stuff off campus that I've done a terrible job of actually following through. But you're reminding me I'm going to do that. Great question. So before you incriminate me anymore, we're gonna go on. So yes, those are all done with expensive cameras and good equipment. But you don't always have to have that to tell a good story, to tell the story of your neighbor, to tell the story of the guy down the street. And I know a lot of us come from smaller churches which don't have those abilities. But this is a story. Mike Cope, this last summer, turned 60 years old and decided, like most of us on our birthdays, to run a 60-mile triathlon. So that's what he wanted to do. And we all just kind of like, whatever, Mike, that sounds crazy. But then he had the other audacious idea of maybe we could raise money for a ministry. And I thought, okay, sure, let's try that. So he connected with KWO, which is Kenya Widows and Orphans, located out of Golf Course Road Church. And we didn't really advertise much for it, but on the day of, I documented every part of his run. It started in Abilene, ended in Midland. And so we're just going to watch little parts of this. And a lot of it was done with my iPhone and some other cameras. But the point being, this is such a small story with a big impact. So this is a re-edit. The original edit was about three and a half minutes long, and Mike actually explains what he's doing. He has a little sermonette, and then he goes for his run right here. But this is just visual storytelling right now. This is Jacob's Dream at ACU's campus. So that's where he started his run with his friend Leon. And so the challenge for me was the quick turnaround. I was trying to see how quick I could turn these around and document this. And this lived entirely on social media. So as soon as I shot these clips, I went home, quickly edited them, went back and found Mike wherever he was on a bike ride or swimming. Shot some more, edited, made some videos. That's one of my favorite shots I've ever shot. Wasn't that epic? Look at that. It's crazy. So good.
This is also our first. Steve Hare in the building.
So yeah, this is another thing. So this is our first time experimenting with Facebook Live. Who here has experimented with Facebook Live? Great. No, absolutely. I was so scared. And Mike and I were both scared about doing it. And I still say, use it with caution. Use it with extreme caution. But for whatever reason, the algorithms Facebook uses, it gets more views on people's list or feed. And it's not like, we only get about 12 to 15 people to actually log on and watch it live. But then it lives on your feed. And we get so many more views after the fact than anything else we produce. We still don't know why that is, if it's just intriguing or not. But we used it throughout this, and we got...
Instead of just posting a video, doing the live, that's the comparison you're saying?
Yes. Yeah. So because I would produce these, post that, and then do a Facebook Live right after, and I'd get more views from Facebook Live, or vice versa, and that just made me really upset. But, so right here, this is actually one of our Facebook Live.
One here, this is Reese Cope. And we got 44 miles behind, 6 miles of running, and 38 miles of biking. Reese is getting ready to run with me, and Ellie's going to swim with me, and Miles, he's going to bike a little bit with me. He's 1 year old, he'll crawl on the back. So hope everybody's doing well, we're going to keep plugging away.
So I also just got a drone here, so I was playing with that.
Yeah.
It's really fun. So throughout the day, I mean, this wasn't like a full-on triathlon with other people competing, but he did run, swim, bike 60 miles. This is on ACU's campus. And then he heads to Midland, and he's been inviting people all day. Come to Golf Course Road Church at the very end, and we'll run the last mile together around
now.
The church.
Much thanks to my good buddy Leon Blue, who flew down from Arkansas, has done the 10 miles with me.
So, and then we get to the last day, or the last part of the day. People show up. Again, we weren't really advertising except for the day of. And it helps when you're Mike Cope. I mean, it does. If I did it, I wouldn't do it, but I don't know if I'd get the same amount. So again, this is the last mile. And it just kind of wraps up the story of the whole day. And by the end of it, I wish there was someone here who'd give me an exact number.
By the end of the day, donations that came in to KWO as a result of what he'd done that day and just a very small amount of social media before was over $11,000.
$11,000! And I thought he was going to get 1,000, or if that. I was like, please, let's get 1,000, just so he feels good. But yeah, we got over 10,000. I was amazed.
You felt really good. I'm
excited.
Yeah, so it can be as simple as that. Just running a race can raise money to change the lives of orphans around the world. Okay, so for some of you, this has just been fun, or others you really enjoyed, and this next part you're really going to enjoy, and others you're going to be like, ugh, I don't care about this at all. This is the part that I get excited about. So I want to talk about a really simple kit, and a cheap kit, a video kit, to do simple stories like the Mike Cope piece, like this piece I'm about to show you. We've got about 5 minutes. So, yeah, let me just show you that other piece. So, you what you can do. I made this last night in about 20 minutes with footage I shot through the day. And so, the videos I've shown you have been long. And those don't do well in social media. You need your video short. Hence, Instagram's one-minute cap. So, over the last couple of years, I've been trying really hard to make shorter films. And a lot of times they're better. And if I have a longer one, I'll make a shorter one to tease on Instagram and Facebook. But this is just an example of how you can cram a lot of information into just about a minute. I like you work manipulating time with time lapses, or what these are called are hyperlapses. This is a good time lapse example. And it's just fun. There's a lot of energy packed here, and it's good for the song. It's fun. It's kids. You expect them to be. You don't even know if they're fast forward or not. Maybe that's what they're doing. So, yeah. So, all this was shot and edited yesterday. And again, the editing process was the most simple part of it. So, real quick, I want to tell you about the stuff I've been using. A light stand, which you can get those on Amazon for $20. This guy right here. It's got an 1/8-inch thread on it. You know, that's your cheapest tripod you can get. One item I don't have on here is an iPhone mount for a light stand or tripod. I mean, this is a really nice one, maybe $25. It's all metal. Or this one, which is $2 or $3 and could be in a Happy Meal. And your iPhone just kind of sits in it, and it would take a rubber band, and there's a little 1/8-inch thread. But that's what you need. And so it sits on either your tripod stand, so you can do time lapses with some of these apps. But there's some really cool tools. Guys, I'm going to get you out of here real quick. And if you have to leave, go for it right now. Feel release. This is some of my new favorite tools. And basically, it's an egg timer. And the idea is, this one is basically, they took the innards of an egg timer and put it in this. And you put your camera or GoPro on top and twist it. And then it goes tick, 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 tick. And you get these epic, like, round time lapses. And they're, again, $20 on Amazon. The more expensive one for $250 is this guy. And it's right here. And this is so much fun because it connects to your iPhone. And it does the exact same thing. However, you can say, I just want to go from here to here in 3 hours. Or I want to go from here and just keep going looping round and round. Or I want to go here and then loop back and forth. And so it's all dynamically changeable in the Bluetooth app from your phone. So,
what's
I mean,
the $20 one?
What is it?
What's the $20 one?
It's this one right here. Yeah, if you just, it was just Google egg timer camera.
No, what's the difference?
Oh, I'm sorry. This one, it's just like an egg timer, so you can only do 60 minutes. All if right. You go all the way around, it'll do a 60-minute time. I mean, I'm not lying when they just take the innards of an egg timer and put it in there. It even goes the tick, 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 tick. And most of them ring at the end, which is really annoying.
And the other one, is that the SERP G?
Yes, I'm sorry. The other one is called the SERP, S-Y-R-P Genie. And I've really enjoyed it. It's really fun. So, That's the most expensive item on here, other than your iPhone, which you already probably own, or another type of camera. Audio is always so important. It's the most important part. You can have terrible visuals. You need good audio. This guy is about $50 to $75, and you have to find a specific microphone that works with your iPhone because they use a different protocol or a different eighth-inch connector. And so just look for iPhone lapel mic or iPhone microphone, and there's lots of different kinds out there. And, of course, now that iPhones drop their eighth-inch thread, you can use the adapter that comes with it. All right, right here. So it just connects into your lightning port, and you got audio. Good audio. Okay, for the last minute, these are fantastic apps. MotionFlow, which is my go-to time-lapse app, because it smooths it out. The regular time-lapse app is like pop, 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 pop. This, you can set it so it's almost like a movement, and it's almost like ghostly. And so it feels much smoother in a time-lapse. The camera app, of course, is great. Hyperlapse is free, and it's by Instagram. And it's how I do the walk-arounds. And if I don't have a tripod, I can do a good time-lapse by just holding it because it steadies out your camera's movement. It's a wonderful app. Filmic Pro is probably the most pro filming app on the market. You're going to spend some money on it, but it has a great image stabilization engine to get those steady shots. Lastly, editing. Apple Clips is brand new. Check that out. iMovie is free. And then these are by GoPro, Quick and Splice. That video you just saw that I edited was done on Quick, and I just plugged in the photos and videos, and it did the rest. I mean, even provides music and titling and all that.
What do you typically use, though, on the other?
On the other ones? If I'm going to spend time, it'll be Premiere.
Okay.
And if you want to talk about that, I'd be happy to afterwards. But for Quick, and so Clips is very simple. Quick is very simple. iMovie and Splice allow you greater flexibility in the edit. But they're all very good. And I'm rushing through this one part. Yes?
I just want to put in a plug for Clips. It is fantastic if you're working with youth groups to put
together
like a post-event thing, because you can do like your own speak, your timers. You know, you don't have to worry about like using an actual editor.
It's one of those magic things.
Yeah.
You're just talking and recording, and it's automatically putting the.